Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. I'm glad everybody's here. Go to Acts chapter 9. We're going to skip over a lot of stuff because you know that. But I want to show you something. We know on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9. He was the first one into the body. He's the first and he's the pattern according to 1 Timothy chapter 1:16. I'm sorry. And so he was saved on the road to Damascus. And there's a lot of people out here that believe that he started preaching the gospel of Christ at that point in time. Well, he didn't. Now, if you can show me that, you need to show it to me sometime. But he was separated, and that's what I just want to cover first. In Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ, talking about Paul. Luke wrote this book now. He, as Paul, preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. The Son of God is that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead. There is no salvation in that for you whatsoever. Go to verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Nothing else. Go down to verse 27. But Barnabas, now we skipped some stuff and we're going to cover it shortly, but Barnabas took him, Saul, and brought him to the apostles, and ascended to Jerusalem, and declared unto them how he, Saul, had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Well, you can't be saved just believing in the name of Jesus, as those people could be back there at that time. Paul was not preaching a salvation message here. Now, there's a lot of, specifically E.C. Moore's bunch, the one I came out of, they preach Acts chapter 9, that Paul started preaching the gospel of Christ. Well, that's salvation. That's Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. Ain't no justification going on here in Acts chapter 9. So, in verse 29, and he spake boldly, Saul did, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, okay, but they went about to slay him. So, he was preaching that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, as Peter did in Acts chapter 2. Only Peter taught a murder indictment. And that's the gospel of God. And he taught that during this time period up until Acts 13. That's the gospel of God right there. And I could write it up there. Let me just put that in gospel. He had no credibility with anybody. They thought it was a trick, the people in Judea did. It was some way that they could, he could bind them and take them and do things with him. Now, while I'm here, I want to show you something. Go over to, you can hold on to there, hold on to that, would you? And go over to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to flip back and forth here real quick. Like. I know most of you know this right here. But it's worthwhile to say, because I'm using this tonight as an example of some things. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, talking about the 12, James, you know, Peter, James, and John, etc. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Hold on right there. Flip over here back to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, Paul says in verse 22, but Saul increased in more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. But Christ was prophesied that he was going to come. The Messiah. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, that right there, see, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, believing not that he was a disciple. So he went to Jerusalem. Barnabas took him in verse 27. And back over to Galatians, that's the trip that he's talking about. This is his first trip to Jerusalem. And in verse 18, he says, then when he returned from Arabia, he didn't talk to no man. No man gave him this, only the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Then after 3 years of being in Damascus, staying in Damascus, teaching and preaching the gospel of God, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. This is his first trip to Jerusalem. And it's important that you know the number of trips. Now, I've taught this in here before, and not what I'm doing tonight, but that of the five trips to Jerusalem. But we're just going to just briefly go over them tonight to show you where he was in a trance. This was a vision he had on the road to Damascus. He saw the Lord. So it was a vision. And he was not disobedient, the scripture says. As a matter of fact, he says in Acts 26, he told King Agrippa, I was not disobedient, and we're going to read it shortly, to the heavenly vision. No, he was not. He went out and started preaching. But now I want you to see, he was up there and he stayed up there for 15 days, and it says so. And he saw none other of the apostles except James. It says save. Save in this case means except. Except James, the Lord's brother. It's the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only other apostle he saw. So he wasn't in it, you know, he was up there for 15 days, and he wasn't in a hurry to leave. So if he was in a hurry to leave, he'd have saw Peter and saw James and turned around and left the first or second day. But you're going to see a scripture in here in a minute. The Lord told him to make haste and get out of Jerusalem. This is not one of them. So this is the first trip he went to Jerusalem. The second trip he went to Jerusalem, go over to Acts chapter 11. Now, I know I'm going to rub some of you raw right here, really. But do you realize the term Christian was a derogatory term? The church at Jerusalem had a church at Antioch. There's a lot of people try to say that right there was when the Christians were, the people in Antioch were first called Christians. That was the church at Jerusalem that were on that. You're going to see this shortly. Down in verse 26. But back up, if you'll notice here something, in 19, now they which were scattered abroad, if you remember Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul, I'm going to interchange those, he was Saul at this point in time, he caused all those people to be scattered because they were afraid to stay in Jerusalem. The only Jews that stayed in Jerusalem were the 12. Apostles. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen in Acts chapter 7, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. You got that? No Jews and Greeks. To the Jews, verse 19. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, that's Jew. That's a Greek-speaking Jew, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then come on down here. I'm just going to read 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of who? The church, which was in Jerusalem. Because Barnabas was in the church at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 4, he sold everything he had, and he took and dropped all the money off at the feet of the 12 apostles in Jerusalem. They had all things common. They sold everything. If you were a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you sold everything. The Lord took care of you. But in today's society, in this dispensation, he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. It's a change. Now look, and they sent forth, who did? The church in Jerusalem sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. If you read back up in here, I just touched it. In verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch. So we know that that was an Antioch portion of the church at Jerusalem. Verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, this is Barnabas, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man. That's talking about Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Where were they added? Into the church at Jerusalem. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were a branch of the church in Jerusalem, and Christians was a derogatory term. You know, if you want to call yourself a Christian, that's fine with me. I don't have a problem. You just need to know it was a derogatory term. In Paul's, you're an ambassador for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, you are an ambassador, not a Christian. But that's just, if you want to say, I have no problem you don't call yourself a Christian, because I do it myself. Now, let's continue here. Listen, I want to just reinforce that. And these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, as a famine, throughout the whole world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. It happened. He prophesied, he wasn't a false prophet. It happened. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, I've got a two or three fold reason to show you this scripture. We know now, right here from this next, he sent relief to Judea. Verse 30, which also they did, and sent it by the elders. And sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Second trip to Jerusalem. That's why I went over to the other one, Acts 9. He went to Jerusalem. This one, he went for a reason, and that was just to take monies or whatever to the disciples at Jerusalem who had sold all the things. Now, so that's his, but he didn't make haste to get out of there, and I'm not going to go into it, but in Acts chapter 12, you can see they brought John Mark back. And John Mark's mother is in chapter 12. That's where Peter, when he was locked up, I'm just going to paraphrase this. John the Baptist, is that John there? No, James. James, the brother of John, got his head cut off by Herod there. And so the Jews loved it so much, Herod loved it so much, he said, well, I'm going to get Peter and lock him up. And he did, and he was going to do the same thing to Peter. The angel got him out, and you can read that. But where did Peter go? He went to this house where all the other apostles was at. And whose house was it? The girl was named Mary. John Mark's mother. But John Mark came back with Barnabas and Saul to Antioch. So there was a relationship here. John Mark believed in what Peter was preaching. That's why they had such a big problem when John Mark went with them over in Acts 13, went with Barnabas and Saul on their first missionary journey. But I just threw that in there. But that's two trips now. Now, Acts chapter 15. He didn't make haste to get out of there, but Acts chapter 15, I'm going to show you another trip he made. You know, he was in Galatia. And he had some problems. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, we're talking to Galatians here, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Mm. They were already in Christ, but in Galatians chapter 1, they were preaching another gospel. Mm. Not like the gospel Paul had preached to them. And it upset Paul really just livid. Look at here. And it says down in here, let's see if I can, right here, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question about being circumcised and all that kind of good stuff. So that's his third trip. He goes up there, you can read the whole chapter, that's all I wanted to show you out of it. It's his third trip, and he stays up there, and he talks to James. Peter is not in charge anymore. Peter says something over here that's very significant about what you need to see about it in verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, because Paul jumped all over, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, let me see if I were over. Yeah, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we are saved, shall be saved, even as they. They're looking forward to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21, when the presence of the Lord is going to come. And they're going to, in Zechariah 13, 1, when the fountains of cleansings are opened up for them. That's what they're looking for. They don't have their atonement as we have. They've got remission of sins.
That's right.
Now, so that's what Peter's talking about. Shall be. That's just for your info. Back over to 13. But that's three trips. He didn't just jump up and leave. And then they give him four things One is fornication, three got something to do with dealing with blood that they had ordinances to do. And there was a reason for that. That's another story, but they just take it that there's four of them. Now, back in 13, we skipped 11, so we got three trips already out of the way. We're looking for a trance when the Lord told him to get out of Jerusalem, make haste, because they will not accept your testimony. Now, in 13, look at here. Now there were, verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now you know there is no prophets in the body of Christ.
No.
But there were prophets there. Agabus was one of them. He'd come down from Jerusalem. Now there in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. He still got that Hebrew name. He was a Jew, and that's why he had that Hebrew name, but he was a Roman citizen. That's another thing. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, this is the deal. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. What work was that? Hold on to that right there, because I'm coming right back. Go over to 1 Corinthians. At any time you want to jump in, that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, what gospel is he talking about? The gospel of Christ here. I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now here's the thing. He's talking about in verse 18, making the gospel free of charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel, and he never did. So there was a gospel, and it's called the gospel of Christ, right here. It was being taught. Now, I need to put something up there. That's okay, I'll draw it up there.
Is that how salvation is?
Yes, it does. That's the first salvation. Paul's the pattern. In Romans chapter 1, he said in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Not Gentiles, but to the Greek. Now all Greeks are Gentiles, but all Gentiles are not Greeks. So,
it was Barnabas teaching the gospel of Christ with Paul then?
Then he was. And after it happened, Sims, he was saved in the gospel of the kingdom of heaven with Peter. When I say saved, he had remission of sins. Then he found a better gospel. The Holy Spirit used Barnabas it converted him into a better gospel, just like Silas in Acts chapter 15. He stayed. He became an apostle, matter of fact, with Paul. So there's a better gospel out there. And Barnabas got it. That's why in chapter 13 of Acts, verse 2, separate, the Holy Ghost did this. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, in verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Talking about Elymas. And that's another lesson. And I just wanted you to see his name was changed. Whoever in this whole wide world, like I told you the other day, a couple of weeks ago, Saul means desire. Paul means small. Whoever, like that little Jew, he now took the name of Paul. Something not desired. He was already desired. Now he's a small guy. But he didn't want the glory anymore. You remember he studied under Gamaliel. He wanted to be the top dog, and he was. It says so. He'd exceeded above everybody in his Jewish religion, which is Judaism. But now, he had to humble himself. He didn't want to be looked at as the man, like Swaggart and all those guys now. Is look at me, look how, what a great preacher I am. And how about, like Joel Osteen and all them losers, you know? I meant that, losers. They're lost their salvation so far. They don't have it. Now, how do I know that? That's between him and the Lord, ain't it? But if he's got it, he sure don't know what to say. You go by a man's testimony. I ain't never heard a salvation message come out of Joel Osteen. Because he believes there's more way, more than one way to be saved. He believes that what do you call them? Those Islamic people got their own way. So does Billy Graham. Billy Graham believes that they got us a different way. So does the Catholic Church. Well, I'm on that, but that's just stuff like that ticks me off.
You can't tell how a man looks, you tell what comes out of his mouth.
That's right. It's what comes out of his mouth. Now, but so you see, now Paul, after he got his name changed to Paul, he wants you to focus your life on Jesus Christ and what Christ did at Calvary for you. That's his number one. You know, glorify the Lord in everything that you do. He wanted to be glorified himself, not any longer. But he humbled himself and he said, everything I've ever done over Philippians, I consider it nothing but power. What's that, Lynn? Bulldog, is that what you said? Now, so he got saved and he's preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, you got four ordinances there, and you see this line that I drew here. That's the middle wall of partition in Ephesians chapter 2. It kept me and you out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, 12, 13, and 4, 11, 12, and 13, it says, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. Aliens from the nation of Israel. You know, we were bad to the bone. We'd eat anything. These people couldn't. Remember? They were kosher Jews at one time. And James made that deal. He said, look, those four things, you young guys, you got it. You need to do that. But there was a wall here. Can you imagine? And I've used this analogy in this room. This half over here versus those two over there, that three. Okay. Y'all guys are these people. These are these people. And you want to they want to socialize with you, but they're over there eating a pork sandwich. There ain't no fellowship going on over here because you ain't never done it. That was just wrong. So that's why that was there. That middle wall had to come. This is not a night we're going to talk about the middle wall. I'm just going to just mention it. It had to come out. Because there ain't but one body. This is the body of Christ. From that over there to the rapture takes place is the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. That middle wall had to come out, let us in, us ungodly Gentile dogs. Okay? Now, so you see, we've got Paul now, Acts 13 right here, he's preaching the gospel of Christ, which is Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead. Now, he also did this. He taught the gospel of God just about every time he walked in a synagogue. Where did Paul teach? Synagogues. Who's in the synagogue? Jews. Judaizers. Yes, Judaizers. If you'll notice something by my chart here, the ministry of the 12 apostles, they never went to the same people. That's a conflicting message. Conflicting message. So the Lord didn't let it happen. That's why he kept Paul out of Asia. In Acts chapter 16, 17, and the majority of 18, he wouldn't let Paul go in there. Because John and Peter had some kind of a ministry. I think it was a letter-writing ministry because it never says that they actually went. But he had a reason to keep him out of there. You're going to see more about this shortly. Okay, you've seen three trips. Acts chapter 15, remember he went to Jerusalem. That's three trips. Now, Acts 22, guys, I want to show you something. Acts 22. You know, in Acts chapter 21, the last verse, verse 40, three words before the end of the verse, it says, Paul speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue. Wow. And what did he say in verse 20, in chapter 22, verse 1? Men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they have heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence than he said, because, see, they thought he was probably a Gentile. But now he spoke Hebrew, my God. I am verily a man which is a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, brought up in the city of the feet of Gamaliel, etc., etc. And he says in verse 4, I persecuted this way. I want you to see that word, this. I'm going to write it down. This way. Significant. Unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. And come on down. Now, in verse 7, he's talking about what happened in Acts chapter 9. In verse 7, he talks, Saul, the Lord said, why persecuted thou me? You know what it says. Come on down to verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law. Now, hold on to that. Go back over to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to talk about it. There's a significant thing about Acts 22 and it's Acts chapter 9. It's the same story here. The Lord talked to, in verse 12 of Acts 9, he's talking about Paul seeing Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so he could get his sight back, because Paul was blind. In verse 13, then Ananias answered the Lord and said, I have heard by many of this man, talking about Saul at that time, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. And look, the next one, and kings. I'm going to write that down. Kings. And the children of Israel. For I will show him great things, for he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, etc. Now back over to Acts 22, verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, Paul is saying. Paul, this is first hand from him, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know that his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, talking about Jesus as the just one. For thou shalt be his witness unto all, that word, all men.
Young James.
Now watch this, let me where I'm at. That of what thou hast seen and heard, and now why tarriest thou, rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That ended the story of Acts chapter 9. Now we've got something new starting in verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, that's what we're searching for right now. Even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And saw him saying unto me, talking about Jesus, and this is what Paul saw him say, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now look, we've got something taking place here. We've already been three trips to Jerusalem, 9, 11, 15. And I know, and I'll tell you ahead of time, there were five trips to Jerusalem. But we ain't seen yet when he was in a trance. But, boy, this gets good. Now, in Acts, 22. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Here's what he said in verse 21. And he said unto me, this is what the Lord told Paul, depart, for I will, not that I have, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now where are we at? We're in Acts 22 here. He ain't sent him to no Gentiles. He sent him to the Greeks, which are Gentiles, but that was the people in the covenants of promise. You ain't never been in it. Your ancestors ain't either. But see, I will means future. He ain't sent him to the Gentiles yet. And they gave him audience unto his word, da-da-da-da, and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Mm. Now, I want you to go over to Acts. Hold on here. Go over to Acts 18. We're going to go to verse 22. Well, I need to read something else before I do that. Okay, just hold on to Acts 18.
Okay,
we're going to stay there. Now, in verse 1, there's a bunch of things happened in Acts 17 about Mars Hill while he was in Greece, and we don't care right now. In verse 1 of Acts 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, that's Athens, Greece, and he came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born Pontus, and he found, and Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers, okay? Now, and in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue at Corinth every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, not Gentiles, but the Greeks. That's who is in the synagogue. Because they're Jewish proselytes is what they are. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, all he did there was, all Paul did was the gospel of God. That's what that is. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, and henceforth I will again, not that I have, I will go unto the Gentiles. Not that he has before, I will. And he departed thence and so forth. And let's come on down. Then, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and not hold thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So Paul knew there wasn't nobody going to kill him. Why? I mean, he had a direct communication with the risen Savior in his heavenly ministry. And he continued there for a year and a half. Come on down. Now, I'm showing you something here. Remember Priscilla and Aquila, right? Now, in verse 18 of chapter 18, and Paul, after this, tarried, meant stayed there in Corinth, there yet a good while, and then took his leave, in other words, he left the brethren, and sailed then into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, that he had found out that Priscilla and Aquila got kicked out of Rome, okay, by Claudius. Having shorn, he had his head just shaved, his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Now, Paul still himself, you know why he went to all the feast of unleavened bread, all those kind of things. He had a vow here. It's just as if he was a Jew. He became as a Jew to save the Jews. That's what Scripture says. He become one of them. Now, and he came to, this is the first time now that the Holy Spirit would let him go into Asia. Right here. This is it. Acts 18, 19, first time Paul ever set foot in Asia. Now, and he came to Ephesus. Do not confuse this with the Ephesians.
Right.
Okay? It took me, I bet you, years. I had them so confused I couldn't understand it. They were in Ephesus. How come that's not the Ephesians? If you're in Thessalonica, you're talking about the Thessalonians. Oh, God, I just couldn't get it. And he came to Ephesus.
Well, I mean, what did he finally get?
That's where I'm starting.
Okay.
And he came to Ephesus. Now, I'm going to just tell you this. He come into a synagogue of the Jews. That's what he did at Ephesus. He did not see the Ephesians.
That's right.
He never preached to the Ephesians. Don't think that he did.
Right.
Yes. And left them. Who is them? Priscilla and Aquila. He left them in Ephesus. That's in Asia. But he himself entered into the synagogue. There it is. Who's there? The Jews and the Greeks. And reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him. You've got to really pay attention to this word here. They desired him to tarry longer with them. And he consented. Now, they begged him, we love what you're saying. We're learning. Stay with us, Paul. He said, no. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. So now he's on his way to Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. He left Asia. But what I want you to see here is they loved him. They said, please stay with us. Now, but I will return again unto you. So Paul, they begged him to stay. They loved him. I keep emphasizing that. And he said, I will return unto you if God will. And he sailed out of Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, Caesarea is on the coast, and gone up and saluted the church. That's at Jerusalem. He went down to Antioch. You don't see nothing that transpired. That's when he had... I skipped the last trip because he was bound on his fifth trip. He was bound in chains, okay, headed to Rome. So we don't care about that right now. What we're concerned about is his temple vision that we read about. And this is it right here. Back, hold on to that. I'm going to show you back over in Acts chapter 22, verse 17. This is where it took place. And when he, I'm going to read it, Acts 18, but y'all don't go there. And when he had landed at Caesarea, gone up to the church in Jerusalem, saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. That correlates with Acts chapter 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, this is his fourth trip to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. He had the trance right there, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony. Did you believe in Acts? You can go back over to Acts chapter 18, verse 22. He saluted the church. He went down to Antioch. So he left quick because... and then in verse 23, he went back to all the churches in Galatia, and it starts talking about them in verse 23, and he's strengthening all the disciples. So he didn't hang around. He had that vision. What kind of vision was it? The scripture doesn't tell you, but I'm going to show you something that leads you to believe what it was, that he was going to go to us ungodly Gentiles. It was time. It was time. I believe he already found it out, and I'm going to show you that. Hold on to that where you're at, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where I'm going to tell you where I believe that it took place. And that's why I wrote this way up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let me look and see what I can see here. He got caught up into the paradise, okay? He went to the third heaven. In verse 6 of chapter 12, for though I would desire to glory, he says, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. That's future. I will say the truth. But now, right now, I forbear. I abstain, what that means. Mm-hmm. I can't talk about it, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. There was a word in here I wanted to find and use. Well, I just can't put my finger on it. I ain't going to take the time for it. It's called that way, but instead of this way. But, okay, so I believe it took place when he went up to the third heaven. See, the Lord didn't tell Paul when he struck him down on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 everything he needed to know. Even when he took him into Arabia, he didn't tell him everything he needed to know. And it's called progressive revelation. He gave him a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later on. And now he's done had a trance. He's going to give him some more. But this right here, I believe he told him that he is going... In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6, but now I forbear. I believe that when he was up there in the third heaven in paradise, the Lord told him, I'm going to send you to the ungodly Gentile, but you've got to keep your mouth shut. That's why Paul says, I forbear. Then, over in Acts chapter 18, verse 22 again, he'd gone up to the church. In that right there, I believe the Lord told him, it's time that you give it up. I've already told you, but now it's time for you to tell everybody.
Tell everybody the gospel of Christ?
He's already been told, teaching the gospel of Christ. We're talking about the gospel of the grace of God now. Now, I want to show you something else here. But he knows it. But, let me see where that's at. Acts 26, let's look at that real quick. Paul is talking in verse 1 to a king. That's why I put kings up here. That was what was in Acts 9. King Agrippa. Then Agrippa's in verse 1 in Acts 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And he did. And then he comes on down in here and he's kind of like an insurance salesman. God forbid if any of y'all are insurance salesmen. He was trying to make Paul, King Agrippa, think, hey, man, you're the most brilliant man there is. Because he says, I know you know all these customs and you know all these things and all that kind of good stuff. And so, come on down to verse 14. At 13, he says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. He's recounting what happened in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. At this point. Verse 14, still the same thing. And then, this is what I want to show you. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he says that, and rise and stand. And he says, the last five or six words of verse 16, in the which I will appear unto you. He told him, I'm going to show you these things and more things when I appear to you again, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Okay? Now look, let's go on over here. I want to show you in Romans chapter... Hold on right there in Acts 26. Go over to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto what? He was separated from his mother's womb unto the gospel of God. That's what it says. You know, I ain't making it up. Which he had promised, listen, afore means before, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Not one mention of anything about your forgiveness of sins or your justification. That's why he taught this gospel of God right there. That's what that line is. And then he started in Acts chapter 13, started preaching the gospel of Christ. Now we ain't got over here yet. Okay? We got to get there. Now, back over to Acts chapter 26. Now he's talking to King Agrippa. And he says, go over to verse 19. Acts 26, 19. And he's telling Agrippa about all these things that the Lord had told him. And he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He got the first heavenly vision on the road to Damascus. And he was not disobedient. He did that. So, what do you think about this trance he went in on his fourth trip? That says, now Paul, it's time you told those people. That you were, not that he started preaching it. No. That's what my buddy preaches, that he started preaching it then. No. It don't say that nowhere. But he said, and he told those people in Jerusalem after the Lord told him, and the Lord said, make haste, get thee out of here, they won't believe thy testimony. He told those people that, hey, I'm going to be going as the apostle of the Gentiles. I'm going to the ungodly Gentiles. And that's why they wanted to... They ripped off their clothes and threw dust up in the air so that man shouldn't live. But you don't think that the Jews hated your guts. They did. Now, if you were in the covenants of promise, they would let you come into the outer court of their temple. You couldn't go in there where they were at. You're talking about discrimination or whatever you think with the blacks over here. It wasn't nothing. But you can be proselytized. You can go in the outer court. In verse 20, because he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Then he explains what it was. In verse 20 of Acts chapter 26, but showed first unto them of Damascus. Yes, he did. The gospel of God. That's why I showed you already. He preached that he was the Son of God in 20, 22, and 27, and 29 at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea. And he found people in Christ, not in the body of Christ, but in Christ in Judea. And they didn't believe him at all. They were afraid of it. And then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works. Anybody in here doing any works for salvation? That's what Paul was preaching to them in the gospel of God. Do works. Do works. Meet now for repentance. For this cause is the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And you can read that in Acts chapter 9. And having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, the day he's speaking to King Agrippa, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And what did Moses and the prophets say should come? That the Messiah would come and he was going to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. But not for your sins. And then he's talking about, in verse 23, you can read that if you like, that he's going to be rising from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now. My time's out, so I ain't going to stop yet. But I'm trying to get a little bit of thinking in there. The trance. But see, when he went to Asia, he left Priscilla and Aquila, and he went over there for that temple vision. And he said, I was not disobedient to this one. You won't think he's disobedient to this one, do you? The Lord give him another one. No, you won't. Now, I want you to jump way over to Philippians chapter 4. Well, on your way over there, grab Romans. Okay. Well, whatever pops into my mind, what I'm going to do. Romans chapter 11, okay? And Romans chapter 11, and we're going to head over to Philippians, but let's read Romans chapter 11 first. You know, right here at Acts chapter 7, when the Jews stoned Stephen and killed him, they rejected the Messiah. They blasphemed with the Holy Spirit, and Israel fell. Now, I'm going to show you something. Like this right here. That fell. It fell straight down. That ain't the way it happened. I'm not trying to kiss your feet. If I had long hair, I might try to dry it. But, now here's the thing. Fall here means they fell, but not instantly. Let's read the scripture and see what it says. Verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Uh-oh. Who did he foreknow? I'll tell you who he foreknow. Go to verse 5. Even so them at this present time also there is a remnant. He foreknew a remnant. According to the election of grace. He knew there's going to be a certain amount of them Jews through his foreknowledge right here when he first spoke the first grain of sand into existence. He knew every hair on your head. And you're talking about how many years? We don't know how many millions of years ago it was. We know that the recreation is approximately 6,000 years, but as far as the earth itself, ain't no telling how much it was, how old it is. But he knew every sin you would ever commit in your entire life.
Yeah, dear.
Christ was hanging on this cross for you, and just you ungodly people, and me too, he knew just how bad we were. And he died for you, knowing just how despicable you really are. You know, if you don't think you're a despicable person, well, you probably can't be saved in here tonight. You're going to have to humble yourself and realize you're no good. And neither am I. Oh, do we do good things? Yeah, we do good things. But, so Christ died here. But my whole point of emphasizing this is that remnant. The Lord knew about that remnant over there of the Jews. Yeah. And he was going to get so many. He didn't cast them away. Well, look. So, you can see now. I want to read some more. Go over to... Oh, I think I'll read verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election, that's what it's talking about by grace, hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, I want to go down here and show you in verse 11. I say then, Paul says, how they stumble that they should fall. God forbid. But rather through their fall, They fell. Salvation came unto the Gentiles. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, so they fell back in Acts chapter 7. At the stoning of Stephen. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing, you can see this line right here, it's diminishing. They diminish all the way from Acts chapter 7, all the way until they were cast away. Until they were cast away. When were they cast away? Acts 28. And we'll read that verse in a minute, but I want you to see that. It took that long. And simultaneously now, ministry of the 12 apostles was going along at the same time. They never did overlap. If you'll notice what it does, I've got it over here, starting at Acts chapter 2, okay, at Pentecost. And it's coming to an apex right here. You won't find them replacing anybody after Matthias. They didn't replace any apostles anymore. James got his head up, nobody took his place. They just continued to die out. Because that had to end at the same time. Why? Because he went to all men. And you cannot go to all men with two different gospels. Right here, he was just going to the Jew and the Greek. And they had their thing going on with the Jew. But when you get to right here, where this middle wall was at that I've already removed here out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, this middle wall was taken out. And we now can be saved in the same body as these people. Yeah. He took twain, which means two, and made one. That's not two bodies. It never has been. It's one body, took two sets of groups of people, and now made them one into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But you notice this ended. Whenever he went to all men. Cannot continue. But that ain't what I was going to show you. Now you saw there the diminishing, right? I've got cast away up here. Now let me see where the heck that's at. Got to be a casting away in here. There he is, and I'm going to show you. You know, you don't have to go there. You can write it down. I'll tell you about it, told you about it before. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, they become not God's people. That's it. I hate my words. Hold on to it. Hosea 1, should be after Daniel, I hope. There it is. Hosea chapter 1, verse, we're talking about Hosea marrying Gomer. I ain't marrying no Gomer. Okay, but now in verse 8, now when she, Gomer, had weaned Luruhama, she conceived and bare a son. Then said, God called his name Luhama, for you are not my people. And I will not be your God. And on verse 10, going down in there, and after, let me just read it. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Numerous, numerous, numerous. Which, excuse me, cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, as the Jews, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. And it's going to happen again right here. When a rapture takes place, he's going to say, you're my people again, and I got one more week of trials and tribulations called Jacob's trouble, and I'm going to judge you. I'm going to cause you some havoc because of what you've done way back over there. It's his people. They're coming back. But right now, there ain't no Jew that's any... Look, them Jews over there are lost. Do you realize that? People will say, well, it's God's people. No, it ain't God's people. No, they're lost, going to hell. They're believing in Judaism. I don't care what they're doing. They're lost. If you want to see a messianic Jew, you know what that is? That's somebody's trusting in Peter's gospel. They're lost. Now, the only way they're going to be saved is trusting in our gospel, Paul's gospel, the Jesus Christ revelation from heaven's gospel, his heavenly gospel, that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day for your forgiveness, for your justification, according to the Scriptures. Now, we're supposed to make everybody know in this dispensation, right now it's called the dispensation of the grace of God, which I don't have written up here yet. We're not there yet. Right there, we're supposed to make everybody know the mystery of the revelation. And nobody seems to know. It's a secret. This country didn't even know when it was founded. I hear this there. Somebody told me that this morning. Well, I know this country was founded on Christian and Judeo principles. Christian? They didn't know anything about what we're talking about. It's a shame. Anyway, but I ain't through. I got to do a little bit more, guys. So you see in Hosea where they're not God's people. They were cast away right here at Acts 28:28. I'm going to go over and get ahead of myself. I ain't got no script that I'm using. Anyway, I had a bunch of stuff up here, but I ain't got there. Acts 28:28. I've got to use it in a minute for something. 28:28. And he says this, "Be it known therefore unto you," he's talking to the Jews, "that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And it went to the Jews. God is no respecter of persons, it says. The scripture does. Peter even says that in Acts chapter 10. God's no respecter of persons, but he was dealing with Cornelius. Now, so let's go over to Philippians, guys. Oh, I got to show you something, though. I just got to find that. I will. I promise you, I just really want to show you that. Because it goes with what I'm talking about. Go to Philippians chapter 4. And, you know, I've been studying this for a while now, probably about a year, about this one verse. And when you finally figure it out, and I don't say figure it out, when the Holy Spirit finally shows you something, that's what it is. You don't figure it out. When the Holy Spirit shows you something, you got a friend that's trying to tell you something, and you don't agree with him fully, and then, you know, you're studying the scriptures, and then you finally see something. Oh, man, this is amazing. I just want to jump up and click my heels in. Okay, in verse 15. "Now, ye Philippians," you've got to understand, this is a prison epistle. Mm-hmm. There's pre-prison epistles. There's six of them. We'll write them up there sometime. There's seven prison epistles. Now, this right here in verse 15. "Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," "no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." We don't care about the, really right this minute, about the, you know, about them giving and all that. That's part of it. But what I want you to see, there's a gospel that started. He'd been preaching the gospel of God. He'd been preaching the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. And now there's a gospel started when he departed from Macedonia. Huh? What is that? That's where we come in. We are in. I'm going to show you something now. This is a dispensation. It takes time. It's a dispensation of the gospel of Christ. I ain't never taught that. There's another dispensation that we're living in. It's to all people. I'm going to put all here. All mankind. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. Okay. It just told you. Now.
Beginning of the gospel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Go over to Acts. Let's read 16. "For even in Thessalonica you sit once and again into my necessity." We don't care about that, brother. Go over to Acts 16. Oh, you can always hold on to Philippians 4. Unless, hold on to that Philippians 4. Acts 16. Verse 12. This is so significant, man, I'm going to tell you. Now, Paul in verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." So, Paul wasn't in Macedonia, but this man in his little night vision, he said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Well, the Lord's just fixing this up, because everything's according to plan. Verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision," Paul, "immediately we," when you see "we" in Acts, that's Luke is with him. If it don't say "we," Luke wasn't with him. And he wasn't with him all the time. we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them in Macedonia. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samaria, I can't even pronounce it, and the next day to Neapolis. Now listen, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi. This is significant with Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding. Now, you see, when you're in Macedonia and you're in Philippi of Macedonia, that's like Montgomery to the capital of the state of Alabama. That's the chief city of that of Macedonia. Now go over to Acts chapter 20. You just had to see that he was there. Acts chapter 20. Verse 6. Oh, there's some good stuff here now, I'm going to tell you. Acts 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, and we sailed away from Philippi. He left Macedonia right there in Acts chapter 20, verse 6. What does it say if you still got it marked? I'll read it if you didn't. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. I'm going to read them both. Acts chapter 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, something happened when I departed from Macedonia. It happened at Acts chapter 20, verse 6. Mm-hmm. When he sailed away from Macedonia, mm-hmm. Philippi. That's when the new gospel, right there, it started. The beginning of it. Now back over to Acts chapter 20. There's a lot of stuff, and I know that. So Paul was so excited about the Lord turning him loose. You know, before he had a thorn in his leg to keep him humble after 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. You know, when he said, I abstain, or what does he say? Whatever that word was, that means abstain. And I wouldn't say anything about what he already knew. But now, he sails, and he went over there, you remember, he only one time in the entire epistles of Paul that he started preaching, and then he started preaching in Eutychus. Eutychus. He went to sleep and fell off and died. Paul preached from that day, all day. He preached to midnight. He'd never done that anywhere in the Scriptures. He was so excited about getting to tell somebody that he was going to be going to everybody. And Eutychus went to sleep, fell off. And what did Paul do? He goes downstairs and lays on top of him and says, don't worry, guys. The life is still in you. Eutychus gets up. That wasn't a sign for the Jews. Believe me or not, when he raised him from the dead, that's not a sign for the Jews. That's the signs of an apostle. You've got to understand that. There's a difference. There's signs of an apostle. And he gave them to all of his apostles, including Paul, so people would believe. Everybody didn't go around raising people from the dead. That was the sign of the apostle. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse, was it 21? 21 or 22, the Jews require a sign, but that's not what it was. That's a sign of an apostle. Now, where am I at? Eutychus. So then Paul is so excited, he preaches till daybreak. That's exciting. That sounds like him. Give him a chance. Ain't that right? Don't want to shut up. I don't either. Lynn, sure don't. Now, this I got to show. You can just keep on reading that story, but look. Verse 17 is the... Oh, man, this is good stuff. Verse 17. Let me see up here. Okay, verse 15. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos. That's Acts 20, 15. And tarried at... I can't pronounce that, so I ain't going to worry about it. Now, this is important. And the next day, Paul and them, we came to Miletus. What happened at Miletus? That's a foot stomper now. It is. Remember school? For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Now, in verse 17. Remember there in verse 15, he's at Miletus. In verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. That's the church that believed in the body of Christ. Their assembly that was at Ephesus. They were made up of Jews and made up of Greeks. No Gentiles like us whatsoever.
That's the body of Christ, in the body of Christ there?
Yeah.
17.
Right. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I had been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord, etc. In verse 21, what was he testifying? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. That's what he did. Repentance toward God. What is that, Sims? That's the gospel of God. Repentance toward God. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that? That's the gospel of Christ. So he preached them both. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, I want you to keep on going with me now. This is what? And the word save means accept. Verse 23, except that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he knows he's going to have to do that. Maybe he's going to suffer. But verse 24, that's the kicker. Boy, is there so much stuff in here, it's unreal. And I've overlooked it my whole life. But not now. But none of those things move me about death and all that. He's ready to count. You know, he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. But here, right here, I'm just going to paraphrase this thing for you. He is testifying. None of these things move me about his life and nothing. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What ministry is that? He received a ministry that I didn't see. His ministry is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the first time that it's mentioned, and the only time in the Scripture. But he got a ministry from the Lord. Now look, how did those people in Ephesians, because we've established that Paul never taught the Ephesians, the Gentile Ephesians. He taught in the synagogue, the Jew and the Greeks in Ephesus, but he didn't teach the Gentile ungodly people like us in Ephesus. He didn't. Back over to verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. There ain't no doubt in my mind he told those elders, and the Lord told him, as you have testified in Jerusalem of me, you will, and this is a paraphrase, you will now testify in Rome of me. So he knew he wasn't going to die. He was bound in chains and everything else. He wasn't going to die. There's scriptures to back that up. But here's my thing. This is what I believe about that right there. He told those people in the body of Christ, those elders that entrusted the Lord Jesus Christ out of the synagogue. He said, look, there in verse 17, because he already knew about it. I'm now going to be going to all men. I'm going to be bound in chains. I can't make it to Ephesus to teach over there. Y'all take it back and start teaching it. Because he never did go over there. Somebody had to take the message. Who else would it be but the elders of the church at Ephesus to teach those ungodly Gentiles? The gospel, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, a new gospel started at Acts chapter 20, verse 6, when he departed from Philippi. But he didn't in my reasoning out of the scriptures, he didn't preach it there at all.
Gospel of Christ, same thing as the gospel of grace of God.
It's got the same salvation, yes, but it's to the gospel of Christ is just Jews and Greeks, a certain set. But the gospel of the grace of God, Sam, is to every human being since that point in time that he went to all people. And it will be until the rapture takes place. Whenever that could be now. Let's go. You ready?
And testing to...
Everybody ready to go? If you're not, you're going to hell, okay? I mean, and I didn't write the book. I didn't. If you don't know for a certainty, you need to trust the gospel tonight. I mean, without this, if you was to die, where are you going? You know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you don't understand this gospel right here, you're lost.
Amen.
You've got to trust it. It's not what you can do to please the Lord, because you can't please Him in the flesh. But I wanted you to see that right there, where it started, and who took it to. This is the only reference that I know of in there that anybody could have. It's not a certainty. It didn't say that. I absolutely believe it. Somebody had to take it to the Ephesians, and it wasn't Paul. He had to tell those elders, in my own humble opinion about it. Why else did he need them there? He called the elders of the church. You know, and then what he said in 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek repentance. And now I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me. But he says in verse 24, neither account I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. What is his course? The gospel. His ministry. His course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to see something after the word ministry. I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That right there is just a clause that he tells, which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. He just tells where he got it. Right there, if you just took that out, he's got a course and his ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he's got. But all that's in there for is to where he got it from. Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you. And join us next week.